for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, June the 20th, 1982. The summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the speaker of the afternoon.
Paint all of our minds with the blood of Calvary. Take away all those pains and guilt and all of those things that Satan has hurt us and bruised us. Take it all away, Lord Jesus, today. Take it all away. Lord, these are needy people. We're all needy people. Lord, I thank you for the precious blood that washes away our sins. I'm only going to talk to you just a little bit because after lunch today, when David had not arrived, while we went upstairs and prayed, and Glenn insisted that I get up and teach you. Now, I hope this is the last time this week you have to put up with me, because the Baptists are coming tomorrow to deliver us, Pentecostals. Now, Brother Hammond has been a Baptist for years. Now, that's pretty hard on the flesh of an Assembly of God preacher's daughter to think that the Baptists would have to come and deliver us. But that's the way it's going to be. Thank you, pianist and organist. I want to turn today to 1 Corinthians 10 and begin to read. Now, deliverance isn't anything to be afraid of. I will tell you that I was very fearful of it the first time I ever come in contact with anybody teaching on deliverance. It frightened me almost to death. I tell you, it did. I ran upstairs at the hill. I was already a grandmother then. I think it was 1965. Or 66, I can't remember exactly. And I had heard a spirit speak out of a person that I knew the person, and I knew it wasn't them, and that was so spooky to me. I ran upstairs, covered up my head, jumped in bed and covered up my head, and took two tranquilizers before I got in bed. And a voice spoke very clearly to me and said, "Now you've gotten into false doctrine, you better jump out the window." Now guess who that was speaking to me? Was the spirit of suicide, but I said out loud to it, "No, I'm too smart to do that." Praise God, I said that. It has never come back again. You know, there are many things that you can turn at the gate when it comes to hit you in your mind. You can turn it right then and say no. Now, Satan is more afraid of us than we are afraid of him, but I didn't know that day. But he fears the people of God. He fears all of us here today. Don't think he doesn't. And he is not too happy. He probably is almost to have a nervous breakdown. And we pray that I'm not speaking anything evil against Satan. You know, Michael the archangel, he never made any bad words, railing attacks on Satan. He merely said, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Let's say that. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. But you know, God in his mercy. Now, why he ever called Glenn and I here, we have no idea. Because we were very happily, we had a secret facility building, two buildings in California, and was working in the aerospace industry when God called us out. Now, I had vowed as a young girl living in a preacher's home that I would never marry a preacher. I figured that out as a child. It's too difficult. I told my dad, nobody loves us unless they're dying or want to be married or have a problem. And that was my attitude and idea as a young girl. And I went away to business college at the Assembly of God School in Minneapolis, and that's where I met Glenn. And 41 years ago today, we ended up getting married. And we've been married ever since, praise God, ever since. Now, when you said this morning, honey, I didn't take this up with you at noon, but when you said this morning that I packed my suitcase in California and went on a plane, it sounded like I was leaving you. What was really happening, we were moving here, and I came on ahead, and He and Kevin came in the Winnebago because it was loaded with all kinds of taping equipment and a lot of things that we needed right away, and I came on the plane. But praise God, we're here. The Lord brought us here. There's no question about it. We do not move fast, but we like to move in the will of God. And God brought us through many, many things in the past 8 years. We bought this property 10 years ago in August, and it took us 2 years to get up enough nerve to pull up stakes and leave Southern California. And it has been very joyous. When I see all of you, it's more joyful. When I see you delivered, it is extra more joyful. Praise God. That's not very good English. But praise God, it is a joy to really minister to all of you. And we want to minister to all of you. And those who cannot stand to be ministered to here in the service, I understand that full well. And I don't know if we'll start tomorrow afternoon or if we'll wait till Brother Hammond does some teaching, but I'll announce it tomorrow. We will take some ladies each day upstairs to the apartment and minister to you privately. Now, there are some things in people's lives that they just cannot let go and bring forth here in the services. And we understand that. Now, everybody can't have a private conference. I don't even know if the Hammonds will be taking any or not. But for the last few conventions, we have taken, Patty and I and some other ladies here, have taken people upstairs. In the last convention, we had 32 up there at one session. And I'm telling you, ladies, we all just really let go and let God just clean us out, didn't we? How many was up there? Praise God. We had a wonderful time. And there was two or three doctors' wives or doctors up there. And I praise God. All of us need help. All of us need help. And I praise God that the elite can come and be delivered. I praise God that anybody can come and be delivered. Whosoever will can come and be delivered. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Isn't that the word? Praise God. And we're going to all get delivered this week. How many want deliverance? You know, after I first heard that, now our Assembly of God teaching was wonderful. Praise God, I might have not been saved if it hadn't been for the Assembly of God. But our teaching our tradition had taught us that everything is under the blood. And no Christian could ever have an evil spirit. And that's about all. I never ever thought nothing about the devil. It didn't enter my mind for years and years and years. Till 1964 and 5. And I began to realize. Although as a child I would see I'd see things happen that would just be earth-shaking. And I wasn't allowed to talk about it or ask anybody about it. I just sort of kept quiet. But I would always wonder, why did the deacon beat his wife when he gave a message in tongues last Sunday? I couldn't understand that. That happens, you know, sometimes. I mean, let's just get right down to the nitty-gritty. Nobody's perfect around here. And those things have happened. I've seen it. And I wouldn't understand. There's been things in our lives that I didn't understand. I didn't know it was the devil causing us all this havoc. I didn't know it was curses. I was literally born with curses. Curses of death on me, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it until I had the teaching. My mother was an only child. I had an older brother. And my grandmother thought that only my mother should have only one child. And so I was literally cursed by my grandmother. And the day I was born, she was extremely angry. And from that day on, I had a curse of death on me until it was broken. Many, many things happened to me that was just absolutely unbelievable in my body. And I almost died so many times, but the Lord delivered me. And praise God, one day, a spirit-filled, anointed man of God recognized the spirit of death on me and cast out the spirit of death and broke the curse of death over me. And I have been very healthy ever since. And I praise God for that. We don't realize, and in modern America today, we do that these curses are real. I think they would accept it in Africa and understand it thoroughly. You know, they just have, that's their way of life, to understand demons. But in modern America, we haven't understood too much about it until the last, I would say, from about, I think Norman Parrish told me he came into the knowledge of deliverance in 1960. So we are at the end of the age, and I want to read this. I'm going to read rapidly because I have several scriptures I want to read. And then we're going to pray. 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lust. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That sounds like modern America, doesn't it? Pleasure mad. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Now, in modern America today, fornication is almost condoned, isn't it? It is almost condoned. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted him and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You think we have any murmuring today in modern America in the body of Christ? Now, listen to this verse now. All of these things happened unto them for our example, and they are written for our admonition upon him of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, in my teaching, in the teaching that I grew up in, we were taught just to go by the New Testament. We're taught like that. We're just going by the New Testament. But Paul, writing in Corinthians, says that all of these things that the children of Israel did were for our examples. Now, if they're for our examples, we must go to the Old Testament to find out what they were doing and what they did to cause all of this havoc in their lives. Is that logical? So, we're going to go now to the Old Testament. We're going to Deuteronomy 18 and 9. Of course, my theology of just using the New Testament, that would mean we'd have to throw away Psalms 91. And we'd have to throw out Psalms 23, and we'd have to throw out Isaiah 53. Well, that would be kind of hard to do. So we really should not throw out any part of this, from in the beginning to the last amen. It's all written for our admonition. And we need the minor prophets. We need to see what Joel said was going to happen in the last days. And we need to know about the day of the Lord. And most of that is in the prophets. And so, don't be afraid to read the Old Testament. Amy Simone McPherson used to say, the Old Testament is for you as the Lord opens it up to you. And we used to live a block from Angela's Temple. We used to go to hear her. And she used to say that to the people. But you see, my tradition never let me read in the Old Testament, hardly at all. But now I love the Old Testament. I love to read in the Old Testament, and I learn an awful lot of things. Let's read Deuteronomy 18 and 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto the observer of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Now, It is a sorrowful thing how that we have gotten involved with the heathen nations. It has come mostly since World War II and world travel. And we have taken up with the ways of the heathen, which God told the children of Israel, you must not do. And people have found themselves going to fortune tellers. They have found themselves going to get their handwriting analysis done. They have found themselves playing with games, Ouija board and ESP games, and games that are strictly right out of the pits of hell. And we have gotten ourselves involved. Now, I had never gone to a fortune teller, but I had read horoscopes. And I never did really believe them, but I used to read the L.A. Times every morning. I used to get up as a ritual, run out, put on a robe, put on some coffee, run out the driveway, bring in the paper, and I would read it. Not cover to cover, but I'd look at every page, and I would find myself reading the horoscopes. Well, nobody ever got up and preached and told me not to read the horoscopes. Not one sermon did I ever hear. But horoscopes are not good for us. They bring curses on us. They cause God to have to put a curse on us. So one day, Derek Prince was visiting us in our home, and he'd been there about 10 days, and every day he'd say, I must take time to pray for you and Glenn, but we were having, I think, two meetings a day, and we were so busy. But one day he said to us, you're both under the power of a fortune teller. And so he doesn't mind to be frank, and I really don't either. I'd rather people tell me the truth. We need the truth. That's what's going to set us free, the truth. So I said to him, well, I've never been to a fortune teller. I don't think Glenn has, but if you feel that we're under the power of a fortune teller, we sure want you to pray. And so he said, well, it may be coming from your past generation. And I said, well, I don't know anything about if anybody's ever been to a fortune teller. But when he prayed for me first, there was like a tent lifted off of me, a veil, and I could even see better, I could hear better, I could think clearer, and it was a wonderful experience. And when he prayed for Glenn, and I was just sitting there in gratitude, as he prayed for Glenn, another tent lifted off of me. You know, as you are one in marriage, you get things one from the other, you know. So that lifted off of me again. And of course, I was a little baffled. You know, some things are kind of earth-shaking. That's very good. We need to get shook up now and then. You know, a real spanking from your father would usually shake you up, and you didn't get too many spankings. Your mother might pat around on you and spank you a little, but when your dad says, I'm going to give you a good one, then you knew what he was talking about. But anyway, in a few days, my husband's mother, now she would not go to any of the meetings. He was there 10 days, and she wouldn't go to any of the meetings, but she is a hallelujah from way back and sits on the front seat and praises the Lord and is a wonderful person. But she wouldn't go to hear Derek Prince. And I didn't even think too much about it. But I asked her, she came over after he left, she came back, and her and my father-in-law, and they were staying at our house for the winter. And they had gone over to one of the other brothers. So I said to her, do you know anybody in the family that's ever been to a fortune teller? She said, oh, I have when I was 17 years old. I said, would you believe that Derek Prince picked that up on Glenn? And she hit the ceiling. She says, everything is under the blood. Don't you pay attention to that old Derek Prince? He don't know what he's talking about. And when she said that, the veil came right down over me again. So when Glenn got home that night, we went back in our master bedroom. I told him, and he prayed, and he said, now don't let that come on you again. Now, these veils are veils of darkness. There's a lot of you sitting here this afternoon. The Lord is opening my spiritual eyes, and I can see this darkness down over you. Now, I know you don't want that. I know you don't want that. Now, you may not be aware of it, but as we pray, we want to break that veil off of you, because the understanding of the Lord comes so much stronger as this is broken. Well, needless to say, we still didn't have much teaching about all of this, but in the summer we came back to northern Missouri where my parents were living and had a big family reunion. And right in the middle of the dinner, right out of me came, has anybody in our family ever been to a fortune teller? And my mother said, I went to one when I was 17 years old. And then she said more. She said, don't you remember your grandmother going to fortune tellers when you were a little girl? And I said, no. And then she said, don't you remember your great-grandmother who came over from Germany that she used to read tea leaves and palms? I said, no. And then I said the crucial thing. Derek Prince picked this up on me, her darling daughter, and said I had a veil down over me and a curse on me. And she said the very same words. But do you know something? That wasn't my mother talking. You know who that was talking right out of my mother? That was that cutting tongue of the serpent saying that old Derek Prince doesn't know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. The same words. Well, I was kind of baffled. My dad always did take my side kind of about everything. And he said, now, wait just a minute. I said, now, I admit I read horoscopes, but I didn't ever go to a fortune teller, so I didn't know where this was coming from. So he said, now, what was it in you wanted to read those horoscopes? I said, yeah, what was it? It was the enemy. He was right in there. Every day when my eyes would fall on that page, how many of you realize that in every magazine and paper and everything you pick up from advertising sheets on, there are horoscopes in there? Those are so demonic and so deceiving for God's people to look at or read. And if you have ever read them, you need to be delivered from the curse. Now, God says, and I know there will be a lot of talk this week about curses, but God says that he'll put the curse on us. And it has a whole lot of symptoms. Insanity is one. Rebellious is one. Compulsive eating is one. Compulsive talking, just motor mouth. Oh, all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. And I had to really laugh this week when they come out and said they have the cure for cancer. Well, God had it a long time ago. You know, he said, don't eat any fat. That's in the Old Testament, so who wants to believe that? He said, don't eat those abominable foods. And they're saying now, don't eat that smoked meat and that smoke. You see, and don't eat the blood. You see, if we would always obey God, it's our rebellion that makes us sick. Because we haven't even studied the word enough to know. I'm telling you, I don't want to be rebellious, do you? No, I don't want to rebel against Almighty God. In fact, I'm afraid to. But if we do it unknowingly and nobody tells us, then we just keep on. It's a way of life because these demons come into us when we're little and they become a way of life to us. And we just think it's part of our personality. But it really isn't. We don't have to be like that. God wants to deliver us. Now, let's go to Numbers 14. Now, in Numbers 14, the two spies in Numbers 13 had just, the ten spies had come back, and two of them were honest. The rest of them were all wishy-washy liars and tried to tell everybody in the camp that they're all grasshoppers and all these giants are going to get them and all this stuff. And we have those kind of people today. They don't want to believe anything. If it's from the Lord, they just don't want to believe it. And in verse 1 of chapter 14, all the congregation, or all the children of Israel, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept all night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, I would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Isn't that terrible? We say, how could they do that? Well, I wonder sometimes how could all of us Christians do the things we do after we see the power of God moving and we know that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and left heaven and came down here in this wicked world. But the children of Israel were constantly rebelling. And they said, wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? I praise God I'm out of Egypt and I don't want to go back. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want all of Egypt out of me, but I don't want to go back there anymore. And they said, listen to this. Let's make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel and then go down to verse 9. Well, verse 8, he says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. And I'd like to say that again. Please don't rebel against the Lord, and please don't rebel against the Holy Spirit, and please don't rebel against deliverance, because it's the best news I've ever heard. It is the best news I've ever heard. For these giants, so-called giants, are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, we are not to be afraid of the enemy. We are to advance against him and get rid of him, annihilate him once and for all. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Praise God for the glory. And the glory is coming down. It was here this morning. It's here this afternoon. And it will come down as we praise and as we worship. That pleases the Lord, and he comes down. And I have asked the Lord, some of you heard me say this morning, for the Lord to send Michael, the archangel, sweeping through here with his mighty army every day, at least once a day. I know he's got a lot of work to do. He is the warring angel. He's the head archangel. He goes at the Lord's bidding. Now, I did not speak to Michael himself, because that's against the rules. We do not call for angels directly. We ask the Lord to send the angels. Isn't that the Bible? The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all of the children of Israel. Now, let's go over to, I want to read the 18th verse. It's good to read in between, but I want to hurry. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. Praise God for that. He is a forgiving Lord, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, I don't know, but God says that's the way it is. He visits it. It's in our bloodline. And when we go to fortune tellers, when we go witching for water, when we go messing around with mind control and astral projection and all of those things, reading tea leaves, joining the Masons. I had a funny experience about the Masons. Now, Glenn and I never messed around with the Masons at all, but my grandfather was a Mason. But I had forgotten all about it, really, until I come under this teaching about the Masons. And somebody called up here one day, and I think it was before this building was built. We were going to minister to him up in the house. He was a Mason. He wanted to be delivered from Masonry. So I thought, well, that's easy. We'll have authority over that because we've never been in the Masons. And usually, if you've never been involved in something, you have great authority in that area. And if you're committing adultery, you won't have any authority to pray for somebody that is wanting to be delivered from committing adultery. You just won't. You've got to clean up your own act first, and then God will give you the authority. Well, anyway, this man came, man and woman. So we began to pray, and the minute we began to pray, something began to retch in my throat and strangle me, and I began to cough and strangle, and I couldn't talk. And so I stopped, and I said to Glenn, you better deliver me first. And so they started to pray for me. I forget who else, somebody else was there, and they prayed for me. But when I was about 6 years old, my grandparents were Eastern Star and Masons, and they had a grocery store, and I used to go visit them. But they'd leave me with a hired help in the store while they went to lodge. Well, I didn't know what lodge was, but it sounded like something I'd like to know about. So after they left, I'd go out of the front of the store and go around, go up the side steps, and I'd listen real keenly to see if I could get. They'd tell me I couldn't go because I didn't know the password. That's what they told me. So I'd go trying to listen to get the password. And you see that inquisitiveness born in me, passed down from my grandfather, being a Mason for years and years and years, was in me. And that had to come out. And praise God, I was delivered of that. And I didn't know I had that. There's some things I knew I had. Now, after we first came into deliverance, or when we first heard it, well, I knew I had everything. I was capable of having most anything. I was a real first-rate rebel. But I didn't know I was a rebel. But I can see now I was a terrible rebel. Don't tell me what to do, and I'm independent, and I can make my own way, and I made good money, and just don't tell me what to do. But anyway, God has delivered me, but I was wanting to be delivered, and in those days it was kind of hard to find somebody that would pray for you. Now, Glenn would say, you just imagine all this stuff, honey. Now, you really don't have all these things that you've got written down here. You know, I had my list. How many here's got a list? Praise God. Praise God for those lists. Just be real honest and get it down on paper. Let the devil see that. So we went to Sweden, and this was before Derek Prince had come to our house. And so I was begging Glenn to get Derek Prince and his wife to come down and pray for us in the room. And so he finally came down. But my dad, he didn't think anything was wrong with me. And my mother, of course, they didn't. And I guess some of my friends probably knew I had lots of things wrong with me. But anyway, we get over there and we get in this room. And of course, I was scared half to death. It wasn't really me. I wasn't really scared of anybody. Normally, in my work or anything, I used to could stand right up to engineers or scientists and argue with them. But I was really afraid of Derek Prince because I was so full of fear myself. That fear would make me tremble. I would just tremble when he came into the room. And so he said, you want to be delivered? And I said, yes. Very calm. And Glenn says, she has a list. He said, she thinks she's got all these things. It's in your book. He has that little book, you know. You can read that little book you get. It's 25 cents. I don't know if we have any or not. But anyway, I knew I had a lot of them. So he said, where is your list? Well, by that time, I couldn't even open my purse. I was just like a zombie, and I wouldn't get out my list because I didn't know what they were going to do to me. And I was so in limbo and so bound that I didn't, my own self, the real me, could not muster up enough strength to open that purse and get that list out. So pretty soon, Mrs. Prince, she said, oh, she doesn't want to be delivered. Let's go. So they got up and pranced out. And then I cried. And I said to Glenn, I do want to be delivered. Well, I came home, and I wasn't delivered. And then I was talking the other night about a man that came from Washington and came to Southern California and rented a hotel. And praise God for that man, because I don't know, it was only the grace of God with all those millions of people in Los Angeles that we would hear about this meeting. And we went, and it lasted 7 weeks. And I tell you, if you could take that man, you could take anybody. It wasn't, he never used paper towels. He just had a common bucket. And boy, I was just too prissy and proud to let my demons go down in that bucket. And I would get so angry with him some nights I wouldn't even come. And there may be a lot of people here that's angry this afternoon. Well, that's good. That's all right. Just let it vent. But finally, when that meeting was all over, the hand of God, that's why I'm so careful. If people want private attention, I'm careful to honor that. Because I sat where they sat once. So anyway, he called and he said, he said, the Lord showed me that I am to pray for 5 families before I leave Los Angeles, go back to Washington. He said, you and Glenn are one of them. Would you let me come and pray? And I said, oh, yes, by all means. Now, if you would have seen me in those days, you wouldn't have believed me. Anyway, I had this real beautiful home, and I put out the beach towel. I got the clothes basket. I filled it with paper towels. I got all ready. He knocked at the door, and he's a real funny guy, and he comes in laughing. He says, you're ready. And I said, yes, I'm ready. I had suffered long enough, and I really didn't care too much then. I just really didn't want my nice wool carpet vomited on, though, and I had visions of what was going to happen. Now, yeah, you know, God says he'll deliver you the way he wants to do it. Not the way you want it or not the way I want it. The way he wants. He delivers you while the music is going on. Now, some people complain. They think we have too much music here. Well, nobody complains about David playing the harp and King Saul losing his demons. It's biblical. Music is biblical. Anyway, he comes in, and we had a second living room. He was standing down on the lower steps. I was up here, and Glenn was right there someplace. And so he begins to pray for me. And he rattled off about 25 items. He never looked at my page. He had discerning of spirit. He already knew me. He knew me from sitting in the congregation. And he began to pray and break curses, all kinds of curses over me. And God, in his sovereign mercy, the Holy Spirit that had been so bound in me, I was so bound, would you believe I hadn't spoken in tongues for years and years and years in our church? I had not, I was so bound and so terrible. And the Holy Spirit exploded from way beneath in the middle of me, my innermost being. He came up and out and pushed out those evil powers. And I never threw up. There was a big gush and the power of God hit me. And I began to pray in tongues and prophesy and interpret and I don't know what all. And I was waving my arms like this. And when I brushed him and he fell flat to the floor from the anointing. And I thought my demons had killed him. I really did. I put my hand over my mouth and I said, oh, what have I done? And then right out of my mouth came a prophecy to this man laying on the floor. Well, I didn't understand much of anything, but I sure liked what I felt. Those weights left me. I felt so glorious. And the next day, I was making strawberry preserves. We had a lot of strawberries in the backyard. And I was canning them, and I was home, and I was dancing before the Lord, and I was praising God and just feeling wonderful, just feeling wonderful. And the Lord began. That was the beginning of my deliverance. Of course, I thought I was all delivered. You know how you are. You think, boy, this is it. But in a few days, one day I was home alone, and all of a sudden, this big old monster fear came right back into me. I had washed out a dress, and I was going to take it out and hang it on the clothesline. And I was afraid to go in the backyard because I saw a vision of some big monstrous demon, and I'm sure he was there. And he just was out there in the backyard and came in the house, and I just was petrified with fear, and I got it back. Well, the Bible tells you what to do when that happens, you know. So I had to call this preacher and tell him. And he said, oh, that fear came back. So he bound it again and commanded it to leave. And praise God, it might be one thing I have to war against, but I don't let it come back. I know it when it's there now. I feel it when it hits me. And I command it to go in Jesus' name. You can do a lot of deliverance on yourself once you have some understanding. But you may not be able to until you have some understanding. But God is delivering his people. He's bringing forth knowledge. Now, every camp meeting, we get more knowledge. Now, in the next magazine, I've already written the article, but this might be something you want to think about. There is a craze for natural childbirth. Now, that sounds nice, doesn't it? But it really isn't so nice. Because Lamaze, having babies with the Lamaze, what would you call it? What do you call that? Lamaze treatment or Lamaze system? Method. Lamaze method. That is right from Eastern religions. And it's total mind control. Now, I've known this by the Spirit for a good 6 or 7 years through watching spirit-filled girls have this and then having something wrong with their babies. But I didn't understand the whole ins and outs about it until recently. And I was praying a lot about it. And I saw different spirit-filled girls have babies. One of them had a hole in his heart. One of them had the cord wrapped around his neck, and they said it was dead. And the pediatrician here in town is spirit-filled, and he literally raised that baby from the dead. The mother-in-law, or the mother told me, the mother of the girl, and this girl used to work for us. And there was just all kinds of cases, and I was asking the Lord, now, is there something bad about this? But, you know, anything that's of Eastern religion is very secretive. Do you know that? And I asked one of the girl's mothers, would you get that book? I want to look at that book because I feel there's something wrong with Lamaze. And she asked her daughter-in-law, and her daughter-in-law said, no, I paid $35 for that book, and we're not supposed to be giving it out or letting anybody look at it. So I let that pass by. But recently, a little book on the life of Lamaze fell into my hands. And the first page is on hypnosis. First chapter, hypnosis and mind control. If you've ever been hypnotized, you need to be delivered. Dentists hypnotize people, and you play around with it as a kid. That has to be taken care of because it will hold you back. But anyway, you'll read the article when the magazine comes out, and I expect to get a lot of flack Now, we need a lot of prayer because a lot of times we do put things in the magazine that stirs up people, makes them very angry, and we get letters. We get thousands of good letters, but we get a few bad ones, too. Well, praise God for that. But this afternoon, if any of you feel that you can't wait till tomorrow, that you need prayer today, that you're just really miserable. How many people are really just miserable? How many people have been involved with, okay, horoscopes and things that you really need help with? Well, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. You don't have to suffer one more day. You really don't. The Lord wants to deliver you this afternoon. Now, repentance is not out of style. It really isn't. We need to repent. If my people, which are called by my name, will repent of these things, we have to honestly come before the Lord and say, we're sorry, Lord, we've done this in ignorance. We didn't know we were born with the sins and iniquities of our fathers, visited down from four generations because of the occult. But, Lord, we're sorry, and we just want to ask you to cleanse us by the precious blood. So I'm going to ask all of you to pray this prayer with me. And we're going to ask the Lord to deliver you. Now, he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now, I know Brother Hammond will be here tomorrow night to speak and probably speak on deliverance. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. And it's the power of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that delivers you. And it's your honesty that will deliver you. And so we're going to pray and ask the Lord to deliver you now, right where you sit. And I'm going to ask some of the workers to help us pray as the Lord moves on you. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we call out for deliverance today. Lord, we are needy. And we have been involved with many things that have displeased you. And Lord, we don't want to die in the wilderness. We want to walk out in divine health and walk in the kingdom with the power of God upon us. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. And forgive our fathers and our mothers and our grandmothers and our grandfathers and our great grandmothers and our great grandfathers for all of the sin that's been visited down upon us and all the iniquity that's been visited down upon us. Lord, we need you today to deliver us and to forgive us. And we praise you for your precious blood that's washing down upon us now and cleansing us and helping us. Jesus, we love you. You are our Savior. You're our Redeemer. And you're our Deliverer. And we thank you. And we praise you. Amen. Now just let the blood come down. Lord, forgive them for going to fortune tellers. Forgive them, Lord, for playing with Ouija boards. Forgive them for reading tea leaves. Forgive them for having handwriting analysis done. Forgive them for reading ESP books and mind control books. Forgive them for the inheritance of water witching. Forgive them for joining the Masons or the Eastern Star or any of the sororities that would cause them to need help. Lord, forgive them for reading horoscopes. Forgive them for hypnosis. Forgive them for acupuncture. Forgive them for listening to rock music. Forgive them for reading Jean Dixon books or yoga books or yoga exercise books or messing around with voodoo magic or reading Jehovah Witness books or Christian Science books. Forgive them, Lord, for burning incense, which you say is an abomination unto you. Lord, may we offer up our incense of praise to you to please you. Lord, forgive them for looking into astral projection and all the Eastern religions, the transcendental meditation, the reincarnation books that they have read, the seances they've attended, the necromancy from talking to dead saints to praying to dead saints. You have been Catholics or Lutherans that you have prayed to dead saints. We ask for the Lord to cleanse you and deliver you from necromancing. Lord, lift the curse off of them. The word says the curse causeless shall not come, but these things have caused these curses to come upon us. These plagues have come upon us like cancer and the itch and all of those things in Deuteronomy 28 that God says we won't be living in the blessing, we'll be living under these curses of diseases, hemorrhoids, all of these things. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive and cleanse them by the precious blood and deliver them out of the hands of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Holy Spirit comes as wind. Does everybody agree with that? Came as a rushing mighty wind. The enemy comes the same way. Now, the Holy Spirit is here. The Lord Jesus is here. The mighty angels are around, all around us. And the Word of God says that believers, are all of you believers? Believers will cast out. That means you're going to have to do something. Believers will cast out. And as you bring, the word cast out in the dictionary means to vomit, to give a quick jerk and breathe out. That's one of the meanings in the dictionary. So I want you to not pray anymore. I want you to look right at Jesus and I want you to begin to breathe out. I mean, gut level breath. Let's just get with it. Now, if you're having a baby, they'll say, I want you to bear down. And if you don't, they give you a whack or two. Now, I want you to get with it, to bring these up and out of you. And Glenn's going to come and we're going to give the command for these spirits to come out and to leave you. And I believe that all of you are believers and that you will cast these out through the power of the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.